handout, handout. Here's a book, here's a book. $5, $5. All right. So I would encourage you, if you can, either get a book. You can also, if you're interested, this is also available online, and you could download it maybe to your iPad. I'm not very technical, so I would not do that. That's why I'm using a book. But if you would like, it is you're able to get it offline on PDF and use it from there. But if you would turn to the introduction, I want to read to you just that middle paragraph as we think about this new study that we're starting today, that middle paragraph where it states, each chapter deals specifically with an aspect of the nature and work of God. The student will complete each chapter by answering the questions and following the instructions according to the scripture given. The student is encouraged to meditate upon each text and write his or her thoughts. The benefit gained from this study will depend directly upon the level of the student's investment. If the student answers the question thoughtlessly, merely copying the text without seeking to discern its meaning, this book will be of very little help. So I encourage you to take the time throughout the week. You may take 10 minutes a day, just however your schedule fits, and invest in this book, because what you put into this book is what you will get out of it. If you'll put in a lot of effort in discerning and answering those questions, you will receive a lot of help from this book. And that's my prayer, is that even though we are few in number, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And that's really what the book study is about, the Bible study is about. It is knowing the living God, knowing the living God by Paul Washer. Before we get started, let's go to our Lord in a time of prayer. Our Father God, we thank you, Lord, so much for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that even though, Lord, that your presence, your attributes, and in many ways are so unknowable to us, we cannot wrap our minds around nor understand who you are in a real sense. But Father, you in your grace have made yourself knowable to us as you have revealed yourself to us in Scripture. And I pray that as we go through this study, that Lord, that we would endeavor to know you even better, that our relationship with you would grow strong and vibrant because of the knowledge that we have of who you are. And because of that knowledge, Lord, it would motivate us then to live for you and serve you all the days that you give us. We ask you to, again, bless this time of study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this is the first study in this book, and so I'm not really sure how long it's going to last. This is kind of a trial and error. Hopefully we can get through one lesson per class, per Sunday. That's the prayer. Well, chapter 1 deals with the knowledge of God. That is what we're going to be looking at this morning, the knowledge of God, the greatest of all knowledge. It starts out with the question, where should a believer begin his or her study of Christianity? Well, the answer is simple, though not always obvious to all. Christianity is first and foremost about the person and work of God. Therefore, we should begin our study with Him. Now, according to Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24, what is the most important and the most essential knowledge that a person can have or possess? Well, I want to answer this question by first stating what is not as important, what is not as essential, and that is man's wisdom, man's might, or man's riches. Jeremiah 9 and 23 tells us, God says, "Let no wise man boast of his wisdom, nor a mighty man boast of his might, nor a rich man boast of his riches." So those are the things that are not as important. Those are the things that are not essential. And so God says, instead of boasting in those non-important, non-essential things, the Lord says in the remainder of the verse, "Let the one who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me." That he understands and knows. That is what? Understanding and knowing is knowledge. It's knowledge. If a man is a boast, he is to boast that he has knowledge of the living God. Now, what does God want us to have knowledge of? Well, the remainder of Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24 tells us that he is to have the knowledge of the fact that he, God, exercises mercy, justice, and righteousness. The living God exercises mercy, justice, and righteousness. Now, what title is of an individual who can exercise such things as mercy, justice, and righteousness? Well, none other than a judge, right? So in other words, he's saying, I want you, if you're going to boast, you're to boast in the knowledge of who I am, and I, based upon my exercising of these different attributes, I exercise mercy, justice, and righteousness. I am the judge. These are things that a judge does. And of course, we know that God is the judge of both the living and the dead. As Christians, we should devote our lives to knowing God. We should devote our lives to making Him known. Christianity is not just a one-time acknowledgement where we recognize who God is. No, Christianity is a continual acknowledgement, knowing who God is, and seeking to know Him more and more. And so the knowledge of God begins with His attributes. But it does not stop there. It also includes the knowledge of His will. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 admonish us with this, where it says, "So then, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, what does Paul mean when he says we should understand the will of the Lord? Well, the will of God refers to what? It refers to His purposes. It refers to His plans. It refers to His desires. And we are called, according to Scripture, to seeking out God's will. And once we find and know God's will, we are then to what? We're to live according to His will. In the Scripture, the word "fool" is a moral term. It does not refer to a person who is unintelligent, but to someone who does not recognize the importance of knowing God and living according to that knowledge of His will. And then on the next page, page 2, according to the words of Jesus in John 17, 3, what is eternal life? What is the one great purpose of the believer's new relationship with God? John 17, 3 tells us, this is eternal life, that they may know you. So the great purpose, what is eternal life, can be summed up knowing God, to know God. This is eternal life, that they may know you. And of course, here in John 17 and verse 3, Jesus is praying to His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane just the night before He is crucified on the cross of Calvary. And He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. The word know there is a word that means to come to know. It's a word that means to recognize, to understand. And so knowing or having the knowledge of the living God is very important. Why? Because it leads to eternal life. We are to come to know, we are to recognize, we are to understand who God is. The only one true God and Jesus Christ. As for the second question that the author brings to us, what is the one great purpose of the believer's new relationship with God? And that is to grow in the knowledge of God. That should be a desire of your heart, to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Now let's look at very quickly the benefits of knowing God. The benefits of knowing God. There are many, many benefits of one knowing the Lord. There are so many benefits that there's no time for us to look at all of them according to Scripture that are mentioned in Scripture, but the author here gives us at least 4 great benefits that are derived from our biblical understanding of God. First of all, one benefit of knowing God is this: having understanding. Having understanding. Now, what does Proverbs 9:10 teach us about the knowledge of God? Well, it teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So, the benefits of knowing God is the benefit of having an understanding of who He is. Now, why is this so important? Having a right view of God. Why is that so important? Well, a correct view of God is necessary in order to have a correct view of everything else. If you get God wrong, then it does not matter what else you get in this life, because it too is going to be wrong. Nothing will be right. We must start with having a right biblical knowledge of who God is, not according to our imagination or our mind, but according to Scripture itself. Only in the light of a true knowledge of God can we have a true understanding and reality of who we are. And having a true reality of what we are in need of. And also having a purpose, understanding our purpose of our existence. So we see one benefit is understanding. The other benefit is trust or faith. Psalm 9:10 says about those who know God. Notice it says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. The word trust there is a word that speaks of having confidence in. Having confidence in. That's very important to understand that in the Scriptures, the name of God is always a reference to God Himself. And so you could word Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10 this way, those who know God Himself, those who know me, my name. The name of God is a reference to God Himself. The more we know about Him, the more we know about His perfect character and His unlimited power, the more we will be able to believe in Him and trust Him with every aspect of our lives. So a benefit of knowing the living God is having understanding. It is also having trust and faith, but also having spiritual strength. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, talks about how the people who know their God will display strength and they will take action. People who know their God will display strength and take action. That word strength means to be courageous. Those who know God will display courage. And they will take action. That is that they will work. They will get things accomplished for the kingdom of God. This is very important because to live the Christian life takes a strength that is far beyond what we can offer. It takes a strength that is far beyond our own strength. Especially in the days in which we're living in, where it seems as if that the bullseye of society has pointed its aim toward Christians. And so we are in need of strength today. We're in need of boldness and courage, maybe more than what we've ever had to have in times past. And so the ever learning of God, your endeavoring to have a growing knowledge of God gives us strength and courage. The more we know about God, the stronger we will be spiritually, the more willing and able we will be able to actively live for Him regardless of the obstacles. Notice fourthly, perseverance. This is also a benefit of knowing God. Perseverance. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I what? Know whom I have believed, and I am convinced, I am confident that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. The Apostle Paul wrote this right before he was to die as a martyr for Christ. But he remained faithful to Christ and he did not deny the faith. He stood bold. He was unashamed and he was confident. Why? Because he knew the character and the power of the one in whom he had come to believe. So Paul's strength, his unwavering faith was due to his deep knowledge of God. I hope and pray that you see this as being a key to your strength. A lot of Christians are weak because they do not have a deep knowledge of who God is. So these are just some of the benefits that are mentioned in Scripture of having a knowledge, a deep knowledge of who God is. Now let's very quickly look at the dangers of not knowing God. The dangers of not knowing God. Just like the benefits could be much more than what is mentioned here in our study, so too the dangers of God could be much more than just what is mentioned here in our study, but the author here gives us at least six of the most basic dangers that are directly stated in Scripture. First of all, one danger is of not knowing God is remaking God in our own image. Remaking God in our own image. According to Psalm 15, verse 21, this is exactly what Israel did. It says there, these things, God says to them, these things you have done, and I kept silence. Here's what they did. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. So you thought that I was just like you. I will reprove. I will judge. I will rebuke. I will show to be right and state the case in order before your eyes. So my soul, what a danger this is. In the absence of a true knowledge of God, man will then form his own opinions of who God is. Man will then remake God in his own image. And of course, it will always result in a deformed and degraded view of God. And ultimately, it will result in God's judgment. Another danger is false worship. False worship. And John 4:22, Jesus told the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, he said that you worship what you do not know. You worship what you do not know. Now we know that idolatry happens whenever we worship anything or anyone other than the living God. And in the absence of the true knowledge of God, even those who identify themselves with Christianity are still nevertheless subject to this error. That is, they make a false god in their own mind and then they worship the god they have made in their minds. So this is why that even as a believer, we must continue to stay in God's Word. We must continue to saturate ourselves in God's Word, else we will then to begin to remake God into our own image. False worship is a danger of not knowing God. Unbelief is a danger. Or lack of trust. Romans 10 and verse 14 tells us, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? Now, obviously, this text applies directly to the preaching of the gospel. It nevertheless still has a wider application with regard to the knowledge of God. How can one believe in a God he does not know? This applies not only to the sinner's faith leading to salvation, but also to the believer's faith that is necessary to live the Christian life. As we've already looked at Psalm 9 and verse 10, only those who know God's name will put their trust in Him. Another danger of not knowing the living God is indifference or having an apathetic view of sin. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34, the Apostle Paul rebuked the church in Corinth because some professing believers among them had no real knowledge of God. The ignorance of God resulted in two dangerous and shameful consequences. First of all, he mentions in this verse that they were not sober-minded. They were not sober-minded as they should have been. The command to become sober-minded can be translated sober up. Because they did not know God, they were living like someone who is sleeping. Because they did not know God, they were living like a drunken man with regard to the dangers of sin and the importance of living according to God's will. And so they were not sober-minded, but also they were sinning. They were actively sinning, which means the word sin there means to miss the mark. And so because they missed the mark regarding the nature of God, He is righteous, they themselves also missed the mark how they should live before Him. So having an apathetic view of sin is a danger of not knowing God, having a knowledge of God, and then lawlessness. Lawlessness, number five. The word lawlessness refers to the state of living apart from the law or will of God. It is living as though God had no law or had never given His law to men. It is one of the most grievous consequences of an ignorance of God. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 provides a consequence of a lack of knowledge of God, where it says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. In this context, the word vision does not refer to a supernatural dream or a vision, but to the revelation of God's person or His will through Scriptures. Where there is an ignorance of God's nature and law, the people then are what? They are unrestrained. The word unrestrained comes from a Hebrew word, para, which means to loose, to let loose from restraint, to act as a leader. Those who have no knowledge of God or His will run unrestrained in sin, and they act as self-appointed leaders apart from God. We find an example in this in the book of Judges, where it says in Judges 21 and 25, and in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Another verse that he gives to back up this case of lawlessness because of their ignorance of God is found in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, where the Lord rebukes the nation of Israel for its ignorance of God and describes the kind of lawlessness that always accompanies or is the result of such ignorance. For instance, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about that they had no faithfulness. They had no knowledge of God, number 2. Number 3, they were known for their swearing. Number 4, their deception. Murder, stealing, adultery, and violence. All these things can be found in the Scripture of Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. But you see how the unrestrained and the lawlessness of a society really took a turn for the worse once they forgot God. Swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery, violence. It's very obvious that we can see many of these parallels between the sins that were found in Israel because of their ignorance of God and the behavior in our own society. God's law does not change. And listen, man's sinfulness does not fade. The more we reject the knowledge of God, the more unrestrained and immoral we become. I believe personally the reason that we in America have fallen to such a state that we cannot even decide if a person is a male or female, or we have fallen to such a state that we have really just washed away the definition of what marriage is according to Scripture, is because that we were given such light. We were founded upon a foundation of Scripture. We are a nation that was known for its revivals in its early years, but we have rejected that light. Most nations have not ever had the amount of light that we have. And so therefore there's a greater consequence to rejecting that light. This is why in other countries, they know the basics of what a male and female is. They know the basics of what marriage is. But because we have rejected the knowledge of God, it has led us to lawlessness. Lastly, let's look at divine judgment and destruction that eventually comes of any society that is left in their ignorance of God. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 just simply talks about that whenever we reject knowledge, whenever we reject the knowledge of who God is, then things go downhill, so to speak. They have forgotten the law of God, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 talks about. And then because they have forgotten the law of God, this is what God said to them, I will also forget your children. Wow. That's frightening. That word forget means to ignore. I will also ignore your children. So in other words, our ignorance of God will sadly affect the next generation that follows us in a very, very devastating way. The lack of the knowledge of God is devastating. It leads to being rejected as an instrument of God and leads to the eventual destruction of individuals and societies. And again, this is what we are seeing play out right before our eyes. We're going to stop right there and very quickly take some prayer requests and have a time of prayer. But I encourage you, if you have a book to study for this next week's lesson, Brother Ted Drysdale is going to be our next teacher for next week. And looking forward to hearing him teach next week's lesson that is about growing in the knowledge of God. Do we have any special prayer requests that we need to mention specifically? Yes, Robbie.
You have to mention last week, Jason Woods had back surgery Friday. He is at home, he's recovering, he's doing well.
Okay. Jason Wood, he did have surgery. Okay. And he's doing well. So continue to pray for his recovery. Anybody else? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for this time of study. Lord, that we were able to see just some of the benefits of having an ever-growing knowledge of who you are, but also what a sober reminder it is of the dangers of neglecting our continual study of knowing who you are. It is so important because if we neglect to grow in your grace and knowledge, then what inevitably will grow is our sin and our rebellion and our then remaking of who you are. God, save us from that. God, keep us in your word where we find strength and stability. We pray, Lord, for Jason Wood as he continues to recover from his surgery. We thank you, Lord, for bringing him through it. Just pray, Lord, you continue to allow him to recover fully. We ask you, Lord, to bless the service to come. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. There is choir practice at 10:40 if you'd like to sing in the choir.